You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome to the brand new Redeemer Theological Academy. This will be an academy on the internet in which we will endeavor into theological conversation, focusing specifically on our Redeemer Jesus Christ. So in this academy, we will continue to gather, we will continue to listen, we will continue to learn about Jesus. Now, in an academic setting, this is going to be rigorous. This is no mamby-pamby type of a program just to make you feel better about yourself. Oh, no. This will be an academic, rigorous study in a theological comprehension of what God gives to us in His Holy Scripture, teaching us about our Redeemer. And as we grow in our understanding and our knowledge of Him, we grow in our ability to communicate this faith to others in this world. You see, the Apostle Peter says that in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. That's Peter's first epistle, chapter 3, verse 15. You see, the goal of the Redeemer Theological Academy is to enable the saints to confess the Christian faith that has been handed down to us from the holy apostles. In this age of competing religions and spiritualities, each Christian should be ready for the opportunity to confess the faith in the midst of an unbelieving world. And so these courses, as we study, are designed to help you articulate what you believe and why you believe it. In these courses, we will focus on Christ. For all true theology is centered in Christ, in His crucifixion, and is about Him. Because you see, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. This is the way that the Apostle Paul articulates it to us in his letter to the Galatians chapter 3. Paul also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Paul also says in Romans chapter 4 that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Now we know these things because they have been revealed to us by the holy apostles in the writings of the New Testament scriptures. And so as the baptized, we have this wonderful, amazing privilege of holding on to the faith of the apostles. The faith about Jesus, the faith in Jesus, the faith to be proclaimed to an unbelieving world. So now in these lectures, we want to focus on how to articulate this faith to this unbelieving world. So our lectures will focus on the basics of the Christian faith. In other words, this is a course study in theology. And before we begin, I must make some background remarks about the study of theology. Now, if one were to go to any academic institution, there would be a variety of courses available in which one could study, spending their time, using their mind to grow in knowledge. There are courses in biology in which one can study living organisms, or for that matter, even dead ones on a table. There are courses in sociology in which one studies society and social structures. There are courses in psychology in which one can study the mind and its behavior. There are a variety of departments in an academic setting that are all there to impart a variety of types of knowledge. But for our course study, we are interested in the knowledge of God. Thus, our theological discussions will be about God in divine things. This discussion about God is based upon what He has revealed to us in His holy word, which is a gift from God, imparting to us true and right knowledge of Him. In addition, it gives to us the right knowledge of ourselves. We learn about our Creator, and we learn about being part of a fallen creation. God's Word teaches us that God is merciful, all because of the work and office of the Son, Jesus Christ. So as we said before, the subject, therefore, of all true theology is Jesus Christ. Thus, the purpose of our discussion is so that we are drawn to Him and take our refuge in Him. This is not just another academic endeavor or a scientific procedure. Instead, the aim of theology is faith in Christ. Theology is the study of the knowledge that because of Jesus Christ, we have a merciful God. It is the study of the knowledge that in Christ, we have life, salvation, and the forgiveness of our sins. In true theology, we learn that we have access to the Father through the Son in the Spirit. And of course, in the days to come, we will intentionally meditate upon the wonderful doctrine of the Blessed Holy Trinity. You see, theology is the knowledge of salvation, and thus a theologian is one who speaks of this knowledge. In the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 1, we hear these words of Zechariah concerning John the Baptizer. He says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So Luke writes this in chapter 1, verses 76 through 79. You see, it was the baptizer, the one who was sent to prepare the way for the Lord, to give the knowledge of salvation in the forgiveness of sins. He spoke of God and of divine things. He pointed the people of God to Jesus, the one in whom there is life, salvation, and the forgiveness of sins. He pointed the people of God to Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So again, when we talk about our subject matter of theology, that subject in particular is Jesus. Theology enlightens our hearts and our minds that have gone dim because of sin. St. Paul declares to us in his second letter to the Corinthians, saying this in chapter 4. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. In St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, he refers to this knowledge as the knowledge of God and God's will. He states in the first chapter, saying this, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." That's Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. This knowledge is from God, and it is about God. This is not knowledge from the world or about the fallen world. This knowledge is given to us while we are still in the world, that we might rightly know God in this life and in the life to come. It is through God's word that he continues to renew our minds, so that we may no longer be conformed to the world, but rather transformed into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, just as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 12. But while we live in the world, being transformed into the image of God's Son, we live as pilgrims. And as pilgrims, we continue to move forward and continue to study theology, that is, the knowledge of God and of divine things. Now, we must make a distinction between this knowledge and the other types of knowledge studied in academic settings, such as biology and sociology or psychology. Other course studies are based upon scientific analysis and empirical observation. Thus, conclusions are made with natural minds based upon what physical eyes have seen. And for this reason, theology is not rightly nor properly understood to be a science. For you see, we understand theologically that our natural minds are tainted with sin. We understand theologically that our physical eyes cannot see the wonderful beauty of the spiritual realities. So as St. Paul declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we walk by faith, not by sight. For faith is revealed to us, opening our eyes, that we may see God rightly, changing our minds, that we may understand God correctly. For instance, St. Augustine once said that we believe so that we may know, not the other way around. We do not know in order that we may believe. Our belief in God that is revealed to us from God's word gives to us the proper knowledge of God. We believe, therefore we know. What we believe to be true does not come from natural observation and understanding. Instead, it comes to us through supernatural revelation. We believe because God, who cannot lie, reveals his truth to us. Now, St. Paul, speaking the very word of God, writes to Titus in his epistle, saying this: Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. This is how Paul begins his letter to Titus, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So St. Paul, as a true theologian, speaks of God and of divine things. He reveals to us the knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. This knowledge is revealed through his preaching of God's word. Here we must make a distinction between the knowledge about God that can come to us through natural observation and that knowledge of the truth that can only come to us through divine revelation. As common sense and natural logic tell us that a building has a builder, a design has a designer, and a writing has a writer, so too creation has a creator. As Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Natural knowledge from observing creation can teach us that there is a creator. However, it doesn't tell us all that we need to know about our creator, who he is and what he's done. It leaves us just with the understanding that there's a God who created us. And that's the end of the story. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he writes this at the very beginning, saying, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now that's from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. You see, natural knowledge is imperfect, and it does not impart to us perfect knowledge of God. Rather, it imparts to us the wrath of God because of sin. Again, St. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1, he asks the rhetorical question, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debtor of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. St. Paul goes on to instruct us in the next chapter, saying this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. You see, through natural knowledge, one can know that God created the heavens and the earth. However, only through revealed knowledge can one know that the God who created all things was incarnate, dwelt among us as a true man, suffered, was crucified, died, was buried, rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven, in which he stands in our behalf. Only through revealed knowledge can we ever learn about the atonement of Christ, reconciling the Creator with fallen creation. Thus, the subject of true theology is the true knowledge of God. But this is not obtained by a mere observation of creation. Rather, the true knowledge of God comes to us in Jesus Christ. To know Jesus is to know God. Again, theology is the study of the knowledge of God and divine things. We begin to make a distinction here between natural knowledge, which is learned through observation of creation, and revealed knowledge, which cannot be learned through such physical observation. So we expand upon this meaning of the revealed knowledge. So that we understand when we use this term revealed, we are referring to something that is not known but is hidden. For example, in the air that surrounds us, there are tiny particles of dust that are floating around and riding upon the air currents. These particles are present even though you may not be aware of them. However, if a beam of sunlight hits them just right, they are revealed to the naked eye. All of a sudden, you are able to see thousands upon thousands of tiny particles dancing in the light. That which was invisible is made visible with light. In a similar way, it is God who brings to light His eternal truths through revealed knowledge. This knowledge reveals to us what we are to believe, what we are to know, that we have a merciful God because of Jesus Christ. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we have an account of a conversation that took place between Jesus and His disciples. The question was regarding what people were saying about Jesus. Then Jesus asked the disciples what they thought. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." That's Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 17. Even in those days, people were guessing and making claims about Jesus based upon their own observation, intellect, and reasoning. But it is only through God's revelation of the truth that Peter was able to have the correct knowledge of Jesus. The same is true for us this day. Only through the revealed knowledge of God are we able to know who Jesus truly is.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.